The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Always remember that it is only you and not us. Thank you, Father, for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Let's be seated. Glory to God. Were you blessed throughout this weekend? Have you been blessed? Amen. Amen. Yeah, I started. And we are going to run. Hallelujah. What blessed you the most in this last weekend? When you hear the word the most, you can no longer say everything. What blessed you the most? Huh? Say something. Which one? You don't know what to say. The Spirit of the Lord. Oh God. Amen. It was amazing last night. But yesterday morning was amazing. More amazing. It was amazing than... Well, I hope you can spot when we are joking with grammar here. You can embarrass yourself. Amen. Okay, so we bless the Lord for an amazing weekend so far. Today, I will just give you a very short charge, I believe. Amen. Now, after yesterday morning, anything I do this morning is short. Is that not true? You know, yesterday, it didn't look like 4 hours. It looked like 2 hours. Except you didn't follow. It was very interesting. The word of God is sweet. And it is not true that young people don't like... It's not true that young people are not serious. Young people are serious. Amen. Glory to God. So today I'm going to charge you with something I have not thought of for some time. Guess the topic. Huh? Is it rapture? I'm teaching on the exalted platform. So that's why I tagged it on the exalted platform. And I just want to charge you about what God wants to do for us as a church this year. And do that very shortly, then I will release you. Okay? On the exalted platform. God has given us a vision. In case you don't know, the name of this church is the Exalted Platform Church. We are also known as Platform of Grace. So, anyone. What the Lord said to me a couple of years back is, I want to place people on my exalted platform, and that is the platform of my grace. That's how it came about, all of that. I want to place people, raise people and place them on my exalted platform, and that is the platform of my grace. And that is how this whole... So, from what the Lord now said to me, we now came up with these names. Amen. And that is what God wants to do. And I want to teach you how you can get the best of this vision this year. You know, you can be in this church and spend 1 year here and spend 2 years, and then you go and nothing has changed about you. Nothing has gotten better. You are not even important when you are around. And it's because there is a way to stand on this platform. There is a way to be part of this vision. The Bible tells us in Psalm 68 and verse 6. Now this morning, I'm going to bring a lot of instruction and a lot of hard corrections. And you should be ready to have it. In Psalm 68 verse 6, the Bible tells us that he sets the solitary. God set the solitary in families. He said, he bringeth out those which are bound in chains. He said, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. And so God sets the solitary. He picks people and he puts them in families. And so Platform of Grace is another family that God has put you into. And that is one thing that needs to settle in your head. God sets the solitary in families. It is not the solitary that sets itself in families. God sets the solitary in families. What that means is simply, you are not necessarily the one that chose a church for yourself. God puts you in that family. And that should settle in your head. When I talk about the pastoral, the Bible, people think I can just wake up and choose any pastor I like. Well, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel, I will give you pastors after my heart. It is God that gives pastors. You don't just choose. And so if by divine orchestration you are found in this ministry, it's because God has set you here, and it's because God has given you a pastor in the person of Pastor Henry. Are you following me? So, you know, I don't know how you walked in here. You walked in here, maybe somebody invited you, or you walked in here because you just felt like coming, or you walked in here because God told you to come. But if it's ever been the case, because it has been steered in your heart to be part of what God is doing here, it is God that puts you here. You will bear me witness, some of us that have been here for some time, that there have been many other beautiful churches that you've gone to. And they are good, they teach well, but something doesn't just connect. Did it ever happen to you? And that's the truth. And that's not because those churches are not good. And not even because we are better than any church. That's because God sets people in families. He brings you into a family. He plants you there. And you better learn how to, you know, get the best. You know, I'm going to demand a lot of things from you this morning. And those demands are the things that will make you get the best from the house that God has given us. This is the exalted platform. Amen. This is the platform of God's grace. You can be here and you waste your time. And you can be here and you will get the best out of what God is doing here. If you are still here, say amen. So this is God's exalted platform. He sets men in families. He has put us in this family. Something I want to say to you. When God puts you in a place, he puts your portion there. And what I'm telling you is a forever truth. When God puts you in a place, he puts your portion there. What that means is everything that you need, he finds a way to put it in the place that he has placed you. And I can tell you that one major reason why many people are not in the will of God for their life and are not being effective is primarily because they missed out of the church that God put them. Let me explain it to you this way. You have a biological family. God puts you in that biological family. That is where you are supplied from. That's people that trained in school, possibly. Even if they didn't train you, that's how you started eating. So God puts your portion there. And in case you came from a biological family that did not care about you, that is not actually God's plan. It's because your parents are possibly responsible for whatever reason. But the plan of God is that when he puts, that's why we normally teach, I say it jokingly here, give birth to the number of children you can take care of. Are you following me? We don't want charity cases here. Don't give birth to 16 children and following us up and down. Say, so what if I have 5 and I'm looking for a male child? What do I do with a male child? Huh? You know, the problem is just African mindset. It's not even, it's Igbo man mindset. That's it that makes you feel like if you don't have a male, I don't know who needs this digression. If you have a male child, you don't have a child at all. For all you care, it's your male children that may kill you. Nobody has told you, your male children might be the ones to kill you. Male children take their parents to prison more than female children. Some parents would have never visited the police station if they didn't have a male child. I'm not saying anybody is better. I'm just saying calm down. Yeah, but we have 16 children. Amen. We have 16 children now, but we want to give it again. Why? We want a male child. Don't worry. You raise a village. It will be long. You know, no, when God gives you children, it's because he has entrusted you with the responsibility to take care of those children. Are you getting me? And we even told you that female children should not have their properties. I don't know the family you're coming from, but it's okay, your family. But if I have female children, beautiful female children, they will have their own property, not everything, their land, their houses, everything, give it to them. And you say why? You have to break away from this cultural mindset. Now, don't go and drag property to your father's house. I'm just saying. Praise God. Well, I'm saying that when God puts you in a family, he expects that everything you need is in that family. And it's the same thing spiritually too. When God plants you in a spiritual family, he has planted and put everything you need in that your spiritual family. That's why I'm not a fan of people who go from place to place looking for one thing. They receive from apostle this, they receive from prophet that. Sometimes they ignore the family that God has put them into. And I tell you, God has put us in this place and he put our portion here. Hallelujah. So I'm going to quickly tell you three things that will help you get the best from this platform, from this ministry, throughout this year and even beyond. And whatever ministry, whatever church you belong to, if you come across this message anyhow, this is I'm sharing with you, we'll still work everywhere. Number one, to get the best out of this, herald the message. That's the first instruction. Herald the message of the ministry. You must herald, you must be a herald of that message. Every ministry has a message. As a matter of fact, the ministry is a message itself. Come on. It's a message itself. The calling is a message. So there is a message. It is the message that makes the ministry. If you don't have a message, you don't have a ministry. And so when God called me, he gave me a message. As a matter of fact, it is the same message he gave to the whole body of Christ anyway. But then he gave us a message. The message we preach is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Simply the gospel of his grace. What Christ has done on the cross. In fact, the way we summarize it in this ministry is, first we preach, do you remember? We preach what? Grace. What is grace? What Christ has done on the cross. Number two, we preach faith. What is faith? How to receive what Christ has done on the cross. What's the third one? New creation realities. Who we are, what we have, what we can become as a result of what Christ has done. So it centers around what Christ has done. So every day you come here, we are either so the general message is what Christ has done. So we are showing you what he has done, or we are showing you how to receive what he has done, or we are showing you who you have become, what you have become, what you can become because of what he has done. And that is simply the message of the gospel, because Christ is the center of the gospel. And if you're going to get the best of this vision, you must herald this message. Why do you do that? You must first of all know the message. How do you know it? You listen to it every time. I don't believe that any solid Christian listens to a message only on Sunday morning. You won't be a solid Christian. The early church, the Bible tells us, they met daily. Now we are not able to meet daily, but you can meet us daily in your phone through the messages on the site. Are you following me this morning? You must know, be acquainted with the message. You are not a follower of this ministry if you don't know what to teach. If you don't know it thoroughly. You know, it should be that if I meet you and I ask you, what does your pastor believe? Or what does your church believe? Or what does your church teach? Or what does the Bible teach concerning this particular issue? You should be able to answer me. What do you guys say on giving? What do you guys say on prosperity? What do you guys say about forgiveness? There are a set of Christians who do not believe anything. They don't believe anything, and they believe everything. Once the preacher can convince them, they agree. They don't know the message. So today, a pastor is preaching this in this church, and they're getting it and say, I get it. They go to the next place, another pastor is preaching an entirely different thing from what the other person preached, and they're saying, I get it too. You are making sense. You see, what do you believe? It is better that you are in error, but you believe your error very well. At least you understand the error, than that you mix up things. Amen. Have you ever eaten things like rice and swallow and beans and yam on the same day? Do you have a living witness? How do you feel after? Maybe with a touch of okpa and fio. Amen. I only pity the landlord that gave you that house, because you mess up the toilet. You have trouble. Now, notice, all those foods, they are not really bad, but you've taken a mixture. Most times, the challenge you have is, we do not believe anything, and we believe everything. Every preacher is right in one way or the other. Let me tell you, there is nothing like my truth or your truth. There is only the truth. The Bible calls the church the pillar and ground of the truth. That's 1 Timothy 3 verse 15. The pillar and ground of the truth. So you either know it or you don't. And I dare say that what we teach here is the truth. And why do I say that emphatically? Because what we teach centers basically on what Christ has taught. And that is what the truth is. You are not the truth. Your idea is not the truth. Christ is the truth. If I said, I am the way, the truth. Hallelujah. So if it doesn't center around what Christ has done on the cross, it's not the truth. If it is about man, if it's about motivation, if it's about causes, then it's not the truth. What you are saying might be true, but it is not the truth. You hear what I said? What you are preaching might be true. If I come back and what I'm preaching to you is that causes are real. Satan is real. Sickness used to kill people. What I'm saying is truth. It's true. What I'm saying is not the truth. When you see the word the, it is a definite article. A particular truth. That's what the church should stand for. And let me even add this as a digression. The reason you are not growing spiritually is because you are hearing every jargon that is not the truth. You do not choose a church to attend because the church is close to your house. You choose a church that is not close to your house. You choose a church that is close to the Bible. Is a church close to the truth, not a church close to your house? Are you following me? If it is close to I put it to my friend, I said, if the church is close to the truth, it is close to the Bible, it is close to what Jesus has done, then it is close enough. And if it is far from what Jesus has done on the cross, it is very far from your house. Even if it's in front of your place. Because people don't grow spiritually because they feed themselves with a lot of things. You grow by balanced diet. That balanced diet is not a mixture of everything. That balanced diet is Christ. Christ and what he has done. So to be a partaker of this vision, you must know that truth. And you ask me, how do you know it? You know it by repetitive listening. Repetitive listening. You listen again and again. You listen again and again. We have materials. You read it. You listen. You are in church every time doors are open. Because you need to know that truth. Even if it will not benefit you. So you herald it by knowing it. You herald it also by preaching it. Every member of this ministry must be a preacher. Let me tell you, say every member of this church must be preachers. You must be a preacher. My aim is to make a preacher out of you. If you don't know what I want to produce a preacher. At least I want to produce a pastor or an apostle or a full-time minister. But at least someone that can explain the message to someone. And that we do that. It's not a good thing that people go to church for 10 years and they can't explain simple John 3:16. They're just saying, you know, I'm not really the church type. What type are you? You are the cult type. You herald it by preaching it. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. He told him to preach the word and be instant. I like the way Amplified put it. Amplified said, herald and preach the word. Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by. Be at hand and ready. Whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, always preach. You must be ready. A good follower of what God is doing here is someone that is a herald of this message. So you go out there and you are telling people. Now, whether we call evangelism or not, it should be that if you are in your office or your classroom, you should have preached the word of God to people around you. Must. At least once. You don't have to be a preacher to do that. The simplest line of the gospel can save the toughest of sinners. As simple as, you know, Jesus loves you. He has died for you on the cross. If you believe in him, your sins are forgiven. As simple as that can turn someone that was headed for destruction. And so you must herald the message. You herald it by you knowing it, by preaching it, and by passing it on. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. He said the same things. That's what it means to follow a ministry. Well, look at it. Read it up. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. The things that thou hast heard of me. I explain this every year. So we see many generations. The things. This is Paul. This is Timothy. The things thou hast heard of me. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So we see four generations. Their job is to make sure they are passing across the same message from one person to another. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that is why if ministry is not in your plan this year, you made a nonsense plan. Cancel it. Tear the book. If there is no ministry in your plan, you wrote nonsense. What did you now write? You want to own lands and houses. Do you know the purpose of wealth? God gives you money for his work. He said, this preaching thing is not for me. When people say that, let me tell you what they're saying. What they're saying is, I am not growing spiritually. That's what they mean. Because once there is spiritual growth, you will herald and preach the word. So you herald, you preach it, you pass it on. Passing it on both by preaching it. You also pass it on by passing the materials on. We have our tapes, those books, pass it on. Let people meet you and they say, I have a gift for you. That's what message you're listening to. You need to listen to it. Pass it on from one person to another. Because you know it can change. I have someone that his life changed drastically. I've never met this guy. I've never met him till today. But sometime in 2017, he called me. Was it 2017 or 2016? He said, I got a number from someone. He said, I came across a message that changed everything I live for. I saw a message. Guess the message? Guess? Freedom Fighters. Have you listened to Freedom Fighters? Amen. Which, I think that was 2000. Is that 2015 or 2016 January? I preached the message around 2:05 in the morning. And he saw people raising their hand and they've listened to it. All of them were sleeping that morning. It was a very interesting morning. We had already done a meeting all day, done program all night. So my friend was already telling me, let's get these people to go. Even if it is missed now, they have been blessed. I said, I have a message from the Lord. So everybody was sleeping 4:50 something in the morning. But then it has that message has passed from person to person. And this guy, I'm telling you, today, he got married last year. I couldn't attend. I've never been in church. He still called me, said, please, I want my wife to talk to you. The person that changed my life. He's not in our church. Because when he found the gospel, where he stays, our church is not closed. I had to direct him to another church. Look to a good church. They say, join. Every, he said, let my wife talk to you. When they gave birth, they don't have enter labor room. They called. When they gave birth, they called. They said, I wanted to see our baby. I've never met this guy. Now, see the secret of this thing. The person that gave him that message was just a random person. He doesn't even know where that person is today. But by passing that message, that girl has changed their life forever. She may not even know how much, because that guy is a minister in that church today. Very committed, growing. One message. You may not even know how much you do when you pass this message this morning. Are you following me this morning? I don't know how much. Every time I come, I go to his Facebook wall and I see the guy, I see him preaching, I see him, you know, serving in church, pictures where I said, wow. And by that 17, he was nothing, he didn't like God, he was tired of church. Someone just gave him a message. He was arguing with the girl. He said, well, I want to listen to something, Freedom Fighters. The guy listened to that and told the girl, give me this man's number. I get to the point. And his life has changed. I've never taught him again. But of course, he lives on our website. That's his permanent address. Every day he's there. And that is the story all over the place. How many of you met this ministry by meeting a message first? Let me see. This is the message. Put your hand up. Okay. You must have come across a message, and that was it. And that's why these things are not just for us to record and put on the side for you to listen to it. Now you must pass it on. Are you following me? If there are books that we've written, you must pass it on. Prayer force has changed people's life. God never knew I've changed people's destiny. Just by reading. I was telling Dreams Away that we did Razor Fact, that Razor Fact book that we distributed. If you know how many, it's not like about individuals. If you know how many ministries that book, I know some ministries that is served as their Bible study manual for more than 3 months in their church. Every day they come, they're studying Razor Fact. Like, that was their message for in church every Sunday for like 3 months. They will come, because the guy made sure, they got it distributed to major people, they just got and begin to study the book. When they finished, about more than 8 to 10 persons from the church sent me personal mails of how that was the change to their Bible study life, to their Christian life and all that. Those materials. And so these things are not for you to put them in your pocket. As a servant, as a son of this ministry, you pass that message on. Hallelujah. Number two, how to stand on this platform is that you must carry the spirit of the ministry. You must catch the spirit of the ministry. You know, I've thought on this a lot and a lot. So I'm just going to refresh your mind on what you know. There is such a thing as the spirit of a ministry. I might be wondering, what is that spirit? Is it the Holy Spirit? The spirit of the ministry, one of the places you find that is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's one scripture I like explaining. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Paul told Timothy, thou hast fully known my doctrine. Now, take note of the things Paul mentions here, because Timothy was his son. He said, Timothy, you have known, let's count. Number one, do you have a voice? Let's try again. Number one, my doctrine. So what does doctrine mean? My teaching. You've learned my teaching. You've known my message. Number two, thou hast known manner of life. Manner of life refers to his way of life. Timothy, you have learned how I live my life, how I pattern my life. Number three, purpose. So Timothy carries Paul's message, carries his manner of life, carries his vision, his purpose. Are you getting me? He now talks about faith, long suffering, hallelujah, charity, patience, verse 11, persecution. So you have known all this. Timothy, you are acquainted with what I do. You carry the same message. You carry the same vision. You run with the same purpose. You run with the same mindset. In fact, let me give a perfect example. He said, You know, there's a man, Reverend Tokumba Dejuwo. He's the national director of Rema. Rema is Brother Hagin's ministry. He's a perfect example of followership and carrying the spirit of someone. This man, if you hear him teach, you've heard Brother Hagin teach. Same mannerisms, same examples, same story, same way they talk, same Holy Ghost meeting. So if the thing is so much that even the miracles that Brother Hagin has recorded in his ministry, he has recorded the same exact kind of miracle. The same. And that's what it means to carry the spirit of a ministry. It also means to carry the grace working in that ministry. So that the graces working in the ministry, healing, whatever, teaching, anointing, whatever, to carry it. And in case you don't know, that is not a thing as the spirit of a ministry. Every ministry has a spirit. Now, it's the same Holy Ghost, but every ministry has their way of life. The grace is working there. The portion that God has given them. That portion, that grace, or that whatever, is first found on the leader of that ministry. But then it is meant to flow from him to everybody. In Numbers 11:25, God told Moses to call 70 elders. Put it up. The Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto 70 elders. So it means there is something this guy was carrying. God now took of it and distributed it. So the same thing working in Moses began to work in all these people. Do you know why this is important? It makes for ease in the work. Because if I carry the same spirit, if you carry the same spirit, I carry the same message, the same purpose, the same vision, the same ideology. It makes the work easy. It means if you are in a place, I am there. Are you getting me? That's what it means. You know, Paul told them concerning Timothy, I'm going to send Timothy to you because there is no man like-minded like myself. No man sees things from my perspective like Timothy. No man understands and carries my passion like Timothy. Are you in church this morning? So there's nothing as that spirit. And I tell you, if you are not working with that same spirit, you might not be productive in the work. It makes the work a whole easier. Because what happened in this Numbers 11, the background story is that Moses was working and the work was overwhelming him. Let me say this to you, friends. Every vision is big. It's big. It's so big that it is bigger than the person that God gave it to first. And let me add one more thing. When God wants to give a vision, he doesn't give it to a group of people. Don't forget this thing. He gives his vision to one man. But other people are meant to join that vision. What I mean is, God is not going to gather four people and say, I'm calling you people to go and start a church. He won't do that. He won't do that. He will give one person and then people join. Isaiah 51 verse 2. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah that bare thee. I called him alone. That's how God works. I called him alone. He calls alone. He now blesses and then he increases. Are you following me this morning? So, God gave me the vision. The day God was telling me, I will raise people that will be on a certain platform, and you are not there. But then, you have a part in that vision. So, he calls one person, and then other people come around to join the work. And let me add to you, maybe I'm not ahead of myself, but let me just mention this. Whether you are the pioneer, or you joined, all of you have equal ownership of that vision, if you understand it. The reason why there's a pioneer is because there has to be leadership. Because God does not talk to a crowd, he talks to a person. God doesn't gather all of us. Imagine if all of us are leaders on the same level. It means if God wants to get us to do something in this ministry, he has to echo from heaven, hello, my people, because we are all leaders, we have to agree. But because there is a divine leader, you can talk to one person, and that one person will now talk to another person. Are you following me this morning? So there is that spirit. But it can be transferred, and it should be transferred from the leader to the people that are in the church. Hallelujah. And if I ask me, sir, how do I carry this spirit? And this is very important. How do I carry the spirit working in this house this year? Number one, believe in the calling. If you do not first of all accept that there is a call of God upon this life and in this house, then you are not going to get the best. It takes faith in a man to partake of what the man has. For instance, let's even leave this spirit, catch spirit a little. I cannot bless you, I can't heal you if you do not believe that I carry a healing anointing. No matter how much God wants to heal you, you have to believe that it is working before it works for you. That's why, I think it was in John chapter 6, verse 66, there is no such thing as believing in the calling. Jesus had a crowd following him. A crowd. Sometimes he will feed 5,000 men alone. There will be women all over the world. There were thousands, 20,000, 10,000 around his ministry per time. But they couldn't carry what he was carrying. And the reason was simple. They did not believe in the calling. So by the time he preached the message they didn't understand, the Bible said the disciples turned back and left him. They began to go because they didn't know what he was saying. And he turned to his disciples and asked him, that's the 12, and asked him, you, everybody has gone, will you also go? And I told him, we're not going anywhere. To you, you are the one that has the word of life. And that's how to believe in a calling. If you do not believe in this calling, it will not work for you. And I don't even want anybody in this ministry who doesn't believe that there's a call of God upon his life, because you are wasting your time here. You will rather go to a place where you believe in that man of God totally. That's how it will work. There are people here that cannot lose a job. They cannot lose money. They cannot be sick. Because once I speak, it will work for them. Now, there are people here that even if I speak 10 times, it will not work. It's about faith in that calling. And so it starts by believing. For instance, for Moses to tell these 70 guys, come, I will take of my spirit and give you. It means they believe there is something working in Moses at least, that he can pass across to them. Are you following me this morning? That's why you must build out to believe in the calling. How else do you catch the spirit upon a leader and upon a ministry? One, you must desire it. You must desire that as it is working in this ministry, let it work for me. The same way pastor ministers with ease and this happened, I want the same to happen for me. The same way pastor understands the scriptures, I want to understand, you must desire it. A classic example is Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was good to go. Elisha decided to follow him. He said, but many times Elijah tried to persuade him to go back. He said, I'm going to follow you. And I asked him, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion. Now, I've explained to you, when you hear, should I do that? Okay, let me just explain that. When you hear, I want a double portion, what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? I want what you are carrying times two, but that's not what it means. Okay, that's not what it means. Double portion is it makes sense to Jewish men. What he's talking about, I want a portion of the firstborn. Because if a man has five children and he wants to divide his properties, how the Jews will do it is they will divide the properties into six. Then the firstborn will take two portions. Then other people will take all that. I get to the point. So what he was saying is, I want a major manifestation of what is working in your ministry to work in my own ministry. And that is how it works. When you see, every time I go to where my pastor is preaching, every time I'm listening to the message, I'm just sitting down and I'm imagining, why can't this be the same? And every time I desire it, I have it. And so you must desire, I love what this man is carrying. I want to flow in the same. I want to heal the sick the same. I want to teach the gospel the same. That the same way it is working in him, it's really working in me. Say amen. Don't
third way, how do you carry the Spirit upon a ministry? You observe by observation. Observe how things are done. Paul told Timothy, you have known my manner of life. So Timothy, you are not just somebody that walk into church and then you walk home. You pay attention. You observe. You see what is happening. Do you know that by sitting down and watching me, without going to Bible school, you can do ministry? Not just me, any minister. By observation, as even this that I'm teaching, I was talking to a minister recently, and I told her, I said, when you listen to me as your father, don't just hear what I say. Hear how I say it. Don't just listen to me teach. See how I teach. Don't just see me pray. See how I pray. Are you following me? That's the difference between listening as an outsider and listening as a son. You see me healing the sick, putting my hands on blind eyes and they open. Don't just be excited at the miracle. Watch how I do it. How did he do it? What did he do? What prayer did he pray? How did he start? Pay attention. Why do you think immediately Jesus left, the disciples could do everything he was doing? They were watching him. You know, it's amazing. I was telling you guys that Jesus spent 3.5 years with the disciples, with the 12. And it was only once, I said once, and it was recorded that he sent them to come preach. Only once. He sent the 12 once, he sent the 70 once. So 3.5 years, they didn't have pulpit. They were just following. It's a story for another day. Our generation, we don't know how to follow. If our generation, one day, somebody would have told Jesus, so when are we preaching to? Since we've been here, all you've been giving us to do is, go and buy food for me. Tell these people to sit down, share food to them. No, that's what they were doing. They will share food. They will buy food. Go and prepare a place for me to eat Passover. Go and get donkey for me. So, only once did they send me to preach. They came back and they said, oh, demons are subject unto us. They said, oh, glory to God. You come sit down again and let's continue. And after 3.5 years of following and observing the man, by the time Jesus now died, when they came out, people said, ah, this ones, they must have been with Jesus. Are you following me? You want to be able to carry the sensitivity. Observe. Watch how I teach. Watch my mannerisms. Watch. Let me tell you, if you follow me closely, you will know how to teach for long. And carry people along. And it's not just by impartation, by observation. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul told them, be imitators of me. Be followers of me. So in other words, imitate, watch what I do. Observe. Observe. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? Do you hear the scripture? 1 Corinthians 11:1. Observation. Imitation. A powerful example of this thing I just showed you now is Elijah and Elisha. When, by the time they were walking, they got to Jordan. Watch this story. Elijah brought out his cloak, struck the Jordan, he divided, and they passed. He closed back. By the time the chariot had taken him, and Elisha was to go back, what did he do? Same thing Elijah did. How did he learn it? Observation. Are you following me? He has observed how the man was. How the man does it. This year, I'm going to do ministry a lot. I won't be everywhere. I will not be in your school. I won't be in your class. I won't be in your office. I won't be in your workplace. I won't be in your family. But you will be there. And you should carry and catch the same spirit. And if there is somebody sick, you've observed how pastor does it. Just come and you pray. For instance, you've observed how I pray for the sick. There are people I just lay hands on. And I say, be healed. There are others I lay hands on. And what you hear is, come out of her. Because some spirits, some sicknesses are demonic oppressions. Almost all sicknesses. All sicknesses. You understand the point? If you don't pay attention to those things, they won't work. You say, I was praying for the sick. It didn't work. Pay attention. How about some people, if you're in this ministry, you go pray for the sick, and you lay hands on the sick, and you're shouting,
come and make a name for yourself. You are not a follower. I don't pray like that. Or you lay hands on the sick and saying, Father, thank you. Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Elohim, Adonai, Baba, who sent you? That's not how I pray for the sick. Because that's not how Jesus taught us to pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. Be healed. If the leg is short, leg grow. If the eyes are blind, eyes open. That's how we're out. You pay attention. Even someone, you pay very close attention. If you're very close to me or you are fortunate to be around, pay attention. Pay attention to how things happen and I let it go. Some of you say, I can't do this love work thing. No. If you do me, I do you back. If you observe me long enough, you will do it. Amen? If you just observe me long enough, you will see a lot and you do it. I don't need to teach you. My heart has no room for offenses. I was not born like that. I agree to it. And you should start saying that for yourself. My heart has no room for offense. I say to myself all the time. No matter what happens, I'll forgive you. No matter what. My point is, everything can be caught by observation. Are you following me? Are you following me? And that's what I want to add and say, and tell you, if you're opportune to be close to a man of God, don't be a fool. Be a very big observer. Watch when there is lack. Watch how he's going to act. Watch when he is down. Watch how he's going to act. Are you following what I'm saying? Watch when he is tired. See what he's going to do. See what happens when people come around. That is how you begin to flow in the same. And you have the same result. Almost everything in life can be learned by observation. Amen. You know, mathematics, now you want to learn mathematics. Stay around someone that solves maths. Once he starts, don't you know sometimes he's a very observant person. I know somebody that he didn't learn keyboard, but he got an idea of keyboard very well, because once they're playing, he's watching your fingers. And after some time, he could start playing. Are you getting the point? By observation. And so that's one of the ways. Another way to catch the spirit that works in this ministry and in any ministry and on the minister is by serving and following wholeheartedly. In service, you are coming in contact with the same power that is working in any ministry. In service. And that is why, you see, friends, you are not yet part of a vision if you do not serve in that vision. You think you are part of it, of church or of a ministry, because you come in and you walk home. The question I'm going to ask you is, if everybody becomes like you, who would have set that mic you are listening through? Who would have put on the fan? Who would have swept the place? Who brought in the seats? Let me teach you something. And I was talking about it yesterday. Never be too big to serve. You see people that come to church and they pray, Lord, I need a breakthrough. And then God gives them the breakthrough. That breakthrough God gives them becomes their undoing. It now takes them away. They can no longer come and clean the church. They can no longer come and serve. Nothing. They run away. Let me tell you something. Maybe there are pastors that are not bold to demand it from you. But I tell you, no matter how rich you are not rich enough not to serve a church. Are you getting me? No matter who you become. As even if they make you president of the country. Amen. Are you following me? A great American president who was a preacher. He was saved or something. He was a preacher and all that. When they made him president, he came into the office and he was very bothered. So the wife was like, why are you feeling that way? And I told him, he told her, I feel like I've been demoted. And that's American president. So I feel demoted. He said, how? He said, this looks like an exalted position to every other person. But I feel like they pulled me away from my calling. And I feel like I've been demoted. No matter who you become in life, never leave service.
in God's house. If I let me put it this way, like I've always said, whatever you do in God's house, you should be proud of it. There are some of you I hear about it, I hear you about your centers that beg, your pastor begs you to do things. We beg you to sweep. We beg you to be, we beg you to snap picture. We beg you to play instrument. We are begging you. What you don't realize is this. It is an honorable thing to serve God. Because I've taught you many times, what makes a job honorable is not the job. It's the person you are serving in the job. Just like what makes being a driver may look like a lowly position. But if you become the president's driver, is an exalted position. Are you following me, church? Being a cook might look very stupid. But by the time you are the chief of staff to the president, you take care of his food and every other thing. You're a big man, though. Not because the responsibility, the assignment changed. It's about who you are serving. Whatever you do for God in church is an honorable thing. And this year you must be ready to serve. Because you cannot catch what a ministry carries if you don't serve in that place. Service and followership. Do you know how Elisha was able to carry whatever Elijah was carrying? He served the man. He served the vision. Now, I'm not saying come and serve your pastor. Serve in the vision. You can sing, serve with your voice. Serve with your skill. Serve with your time and energy. I've prayed for you this weekend. I'll do it again today. This year, we are going to experience a lot of growth. A lot of increase in your personal life. Do you believe that? Financial explosions will happen. What I'm saying is, if you are in your millions, you might get into your hundreds of millions this year. But you see, the more that happens, I warned you that yesterday morning. Remember, let your heart never tell you that me the runner. It's God, and that should keep you very humble. That should keep you serving. Far be it from me, for instance, that I will grow to a point in my life where they say, "Oh, it's time for 1-on-1 evangelism," and I will say, "Ah, billionaire like me, going up and down preaching the gospel." That's what? How do you form? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me three hallelujahs.
Hallelujah.
You know what is coming next? Do you know what is coming next? If you know, let's try it again. Give me three hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Should I still do it? Huh? Should I do what I want to do? You can be seated. God bless you. So you serve and you follow from the heart. You serve wholeheartedly. You follow from the heart. Oh, it's time to do this. Be available. Be available. You know, be an inspiration to others as God keeps lifting you. That they can look at you and say things like, "Ah, do you know how much that guy has? That guy you're looking at is a billionaire." But if every time you see him, church, you will not even know. He's there. He's working hard, serving. People. He's trying to usher you to tell you to sit down. People even insult him, and he just smiles. That's how you know that somebody's really a billionaire. All the ones that have some money, he says, "Do you know who I am? I can feed all your family. Come on." But the real guys, they try to tell you to sit down. He said, "Get out." He just smile. He said, "Yeah. Just try and sit here." Hallelujah. You must serve. Serve in whatever way you can. Don't sneak into church and sneak out. There are two kinds of people in every team. There are people who make things happen. And there are people who watch things happen. Don't just watch things happen. Make things happen. Are you following me? Don't just participate in service. Make service happen. Be one of the reasons why we hold service every week. Because this year we will demand a lot of service.
a lot of commitment. And you must have it to give. And in case you don't know, the more you grow, the man will keep demanding this from you. Your children will meet you serving the Lord. They will meet you. You will not have stories for your children like, you know, when I was your age, I used to be in church. Don't have that kind of story. Hallelujah. They should meet you serving the Lord. Pray I'm not your child. If you say when I was your age, I was serving the Lord, I will ask you, so what happened now? So mommy, are you saying if I get to your age, I can stop too? Hallelujah. We will serve Jesus. We will serve his church. We will serve his work. We will serve his purpose. Glory to God. So that's heart, ready to serve, ready to follow, and all that. Now I'll say, you must also learn to honor. I won't say much about that for now. Honor the man that God has put over your life. He helps you catch whatever he's carrying. Everything spiritual flows on the wheels of honor. Once you honor someone, you will get from the person. If you honor me as a man of God, everything I speak over your life will work. So you honor. You honor. That honor is in attitude. That honor is in words. That honor is in giving. You have a heart of honor. Jesus went to preach in his hometown. He couldn't do many mighty works because they dishonored him. They said, it's not this Jesus that we know. This one, son of carpenter. He didn't do miracles there. Not because he couldn't, but because they couldn't receive it. And that's why, you see, everything I'm saying tells you something. It is difficult to participate in a vision, to partake in a vision, if you're a rebellious person. That's what I'm trying to say. It's difficult. If your heart is not calm, you're not a good follower, you cannot get the best. And things that are meant for you will be eluding you. Whereas God has put everything you need in that vision. Serve. Honor. Hallelujah. Honor. Follow. Learn. Grow. Of course, there's another way this spirit is caught, is by impartation. By laying on of hands and all that. That's why, from time to time in this church, I will lay hands on you. Because every time I put my hands on you, something deposits. Are you following me? For every time I speak words over you, something is happening. Jesus said to them, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's just verse 63. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so, as I'm speaking, the spirit that makes the ministry is rubbing off on you. As I'm laying hands on you, that same grace that fortune ministry is rubbing off on you. Amen. So if you're from an other center, if you're from other centers that is not a Enugu center, let me see your hand. You know, have you observed that in your center, it is not different from when you come here? Have you observed that? The teaching is not different. Or is it? If it is, let me know. But I'm so sure it's not. It's the same spirit. The teaching is not different. The result is not different. The same thing. That's why you don't go for national programs. And then I'm teaching and you're like, I don't even know that is true. You must have learned something like that. I now come because I'm the leader. I will throw more light on it. But you must have been. That means we all carry this. That's why a platform of grace is the same everywhere. If I will speak over people here and their finances will expand, your pastor will do the same, there will be the same results. Because it's the same spirit. And that's why you cannot pastor under us if you don't have the same spirit. If you don't follow everything I'm sharing now, if you have not served for long and followed us for long and learned and received the same thing, you can pastor. You can pastor here. Those of us in the Enugu Center here, there are days I'm not around. And other pastors mount the stage, you find the same result. Same results. And it should translate to your personal life such that the same way we see victories as a ministry, you begin to see it in your own personal life too. Same spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why I say you must be observant. Be observant. Be observant. I don't think sometimes some of you that have been here for long. Some days, last 2 years now. We will have a need, a big need, running to hundreds of thousands. I will announce it on Sunday. Before Thursday, the need is met.
Last year we had a case. I called the meeting on Tuesday. By Thursday, the need was met. Those things are not just for us to testify and rejoice about. There are things you should observe. If it is working in my church this way, you should work in my life that way too. That when I have a need, I should have the same result. That's what I'm talking about, carrying the Spirit. Catching the same Spirit. Are you getting the point? You've been here for like 3-4 years. Now let me see your hand. Have you observed? Have you seen the growth? Did you observe the growth? Not just numerical growth, financial. You see that growth of increase of everything. That is how your life is meant to be. The same progression. Be observant. That's what I normally tell you. If I'm talking in this church and I say, well, guys, this year, we are going to buy land. Because we'll buy land this year. This year, we're going to buy land. Now, it's not just a message for the church. Because it is the individuals that make the church. So it's a message for us as a group. But I can also take it as a personal message for myself. That as it is working in my church, Lord, it's working in my life too. Are you getting me? We will have 10 times more. We celebrate as a church. You now go home and say, I will have same spirit. Same spirit. We hold meetings and then we see people healed in their tents. Trust that as you go home too, that same thing will begin to work in you. Oh, pastor was teaching, there was so much revelation. That same thing working in pastor will work in me. Me will teach that same way too. Even if it is one person I'm talking to just in my corner. Have you ever taught somebody one-on-one and the person was amazed at what you are saying? What's the feeling like? That teaching person is like, hey, have I read my Bible before? And you just feel it yourself. The thing he doesn't know is that those things you are saying, you heard it from me. You're just saying it. When you say, ah, how do you learn this? You not smile. You say, you know. Then, you know, just you study. It's growth. Pay attention to growth. Hallelujah. So there is a spirit at work here. And we all must work with the same spirit. If not, even if you are a worker here and you don't carry the same spirit, you will cause you trouble. Number 3, what you must do to stand on this platform? You must own this vision and run with it. And I'll close with this. You must own the vision and run with it. God calls people alone. But God never intends that one person will own a particular vision. So, platform of grace, the exalted platform, is your vision as it is my vision. When I say things like, this is my church, what people understand, not people share, not you, what people understand is, this is his church, he started it. That's not what I mean. This is my church means this is my church. You can also say this is my... Is it not your church? You don't have to start it to own it. Every vision, you must own it as your personal vision. So, the other platform is not Pastor Henry's vision. I don't even digress to say, this point I'm making now keeps me very humble. This is not your vision. If you want to check if it is your vision, die. If you die, the vision will continue. I get to the point. Truth of God mission is not just Archbishop Benson Dorsa's ministry. Because he has died. And he's even waxing stronger now. I get to the point. He received it, but there are others that have joined the vision and they all own the vision. There are a set of people that have problem. They cannot be committed to anything unless they are the head. They don't believe they own something unless they are the head. So you see those people, if you make them the leader of the company will do well. If they are not the leader, they will cause trouble for the leader. They will not come. They will not be serious. That's a terrible mindset. You must know that if I am part of the team, it is my team. Are you following me? So you own the vision. You own the vision and you run with the vision. This is my vision. This is my church. This is my house. Let's start again. Say, this is my vision. This is my vision. This is my vision. This is my ministry. This is my church. Let's try it again, because you don't have to talk. Let's start with this side. Say, this is my vision. Do you guys have a voice? Say, this is my vision. This is my vision. This is my ministry. This is my church. Let's try this simple. Say, this is my vision. This is my ministry. This is my church. Expression, show them what you have. This is my vision. Everyone on this road now. This is my vision. This is my ministry. This is my church. Let's take everybody. This is my vision. This is my ministry. It is my church. That's how to see it. It's not their church. Some of you call and you say, do you people have service today? Who is you people? Who is you people? Are you people meeting today? Don't join this church that way. Let me tell you something. We're not a frivolous church. We're not a waka pass ministry. If you are coming to stay. And see it as a house. Your family. My vision. My church. Do you wonder why we have committed people in this church? That if I decide now to have something, if I put maybe there's work we have now, and it will take us 3 weeks consistently, I can tell you, beating my chest, that there are people that will be here for 21 days. Now, it's not because they are jobless. They own it. I didn't get the point. They own it. That's a question I normally ask my friends. If you come to ask me, maybe you say, sir, I will not be around tomorrow. I normally ask them, if you are the pastor, will you be around tomorrow? Now, if you begin to think like that, I used to teach on the goalkeeper mindset. If you begin to think like that, that I'm important, I own this. You see, people, if you make them pastors, they won't be around. So imagine if your pastor is like you. Whenever he wakes up and he's tired, he won't come. If he wakes up and he's feeling funny, like I was feeling funny this morning. Amen. But whether I feel funny or I'm funny, I have to be in church. Imagine if your pastor wakes up and doesn't have clothes. Yeah, I didn't iron my clothes. I would have come just I didn't iron my clothes. Imagine if I'm like that. There'll be no church. But because you've not yet owned the vision, you don't care. I can't come. Today I'm tired. I woke up from the wrong side of the bed. Can't sleep back. Any small thing, they're out of church. My sister is wedding, they're out of church. My brother is getting married, they're out of church. My great-grandfather died, they're out of church. My father's sister-in-law died, they're out of church. They are coming to do something in my house, they're out of church. Anything. What I entered my house, they're out of church. You know, this is one of the worst. Like, has what ever entered your house? Pray it doesn't happen to you. I traveled for Christmas, that was the last 2 years. And I came back. Lo and behold, all my the tap was on. Everywhere was soaked. It will not happen to you. It's a very bad thing. But then, by the next day there was service, I carried my Bible. And if I didn't tell you now, you will not know. You own the vision. You must come to a point where you do not live life by your feeling and by circumstance. Do you know that when you have children, if you don't really have children, there are days you're going to wake up and you don't feel like going to pick them from school. But no matter how you feel, after feeling that way, you can't pick them. Because you are not your feeling. Imagine your children stay in school for 3 days. and you appear on the third day. He said, Bobby, we've not seen you. He said, I woke up from the wrong side of the bed. That's how we treat church. I have people that tell me, somebody actually told me, say, the reason I don't always come early to church is that we used to finish cooking late in the house, so I have to wait to eat before I come. That was very funny. I will now think he's a secondary school boy. Macho man. We have to finish cooking. What an excuse. Irresponsibility. We want to finish cooking. Says, so I have to wait for them. And I said, can't you come and they keep it for you? He said, you don't know that my house. If I go, if I come back. I couldn't even laugh. I couldn't frown. I couldn't believe. Let me tell you, I am very big on commitment. I'm an extremist. If I will not be here, I will not be here. If I will be here, I'll be here. That is me. All this occasional commitment. Own this vision. Jesus puts it this way in John 2:17. He said, he did something after he sent people out of the temple. The disciples said, the zeal of thy house. So they remember that it was said about him, that the zeal for the house of God has eaten him up. It was the psalmist that said that in Psalm 69:9. The zeal for your house has swallowed me. Put it up, Psalm 69:9. Glory to God. Put it up in our translation. I like the word eating. He said, passion for your house has consumed me. You own the vision. Let the passion consume you. So is David that wrote this? Is it David's church? Was David the one that started the church? Is he the founder of the church? It was just, but he said, but the passion for that house. I don't have to be the founder to be consumed by it. There are even founders who are not zealous. Their founders are not committed. So you think why you are not committed is because you are not the leader. No. If you are not committed as a member, even if I make you the leader, you will be unserious. I've not seen unserious pastors. Pastors that don't know that the ministry will cost them. They did not count the cost. You are a pastor and every 8 months or 6 months, you are traveling all over the world taking courses in different nations. For like 7 months, your church is there. Nobody's there. They want to improve myself. 3 months after we go for vacation. You're not serious. If you swallow a message said, I love you more than I can say. Because I'm madly in love with you. Amen. Church should mean that much to you. It should swallow you. This is my vision. It's my ministry. It's my church. Probably another translation. It's my church. GNT said, my devotion to your temple burns in me like a fire. Are you going to be like that this year? Let me see if you'll be like that this year. The zeal for your house has eaten me up. Committed. Fully committed. See. Own the vision. Commit with everything in you. God, this is not about man. This is God. And it's not just what we say. If you're part of this ministry, you know. This is not the ministry built around any man. It is God. It is God. Hallelujah. It is God. So you own the vision by committing to it. Another way you own a vision, for instance, is by finding your place in the vision. This is a big vision. You have a place in this vision. One scripture I like teaching with is, put up Nehemiah 3. We can't read everything, but I'll just show you some parts. Nehemiah 3. Nehemiah went to, he had a vision. What was the vision? To rebuild the temple of God. There was nothing to gain from it. It was just his personal vision. And he went to him and he shared it with the people. And they bought Nehemiah 3. Come on. From verse 1. If you don't mention the verse, it's from verse 1. He wanted to rebuild the temple. So he came home and he shared it with people. Now see what I want you to see. Eliashib, watch the story. The high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built the sheep gates. They sanctified it. They set up the doors of it, even unto the door. That was Eliashib. That was his own decision. Verse 2. And next to him, built the men of Jericho. Next to them, built Zachor, the son of Imri. Continue. But the fish gates, the sons of Hasena built, who also laid beams thereof. Next one. And next unto him. So point is, each family came to that Nehemiah's vision and picked the part that they were going to do. I get to the point. Eliashib said, I have the fish gates, sheep gates. This one, the fish gates. Continue, verse 5. This one's the Tekoites repaired. Continue. Moreover, the old gate. So we have seen the sheep gate. A family took it. The fish gate. A family took it. The old gate. Another family. Jehoiada, son of Pesa. They share everybody. If this is a vision, you have a part in the vision. Find your place. Find what God wants you to do here. Find how God wants you to serve here. Find how you can be useful. So that if for any reason you go for like 2 weeks and you come back, we will miss you. Because if your absence was not felt, then your presence was never needed. Be useful. Continue. So these guys walked on the old gate. Continue. Okay, continue. Continue. See verse 9. Quick. Continue. Continue. Understand? Just see it. You see different families. Continue. Different names. Picking responsibilities. It continue like that till verse 32. Every family. So, how they did it, they didn't just come out and say, let's build the house. Everybody started doing what we have to share it. So, you, which one can you do? I can usher. Which one can you do? I can do media. Which one can you do? I can do publication team. Which one can you do? I can sing. Which one can you do? Responsibility. Finding your place in the big vision of God. Are you getting me? So find your place. How else do you own a vision? Remember, I'll just end with this. How else do you own a vision? Give to that vision money. And I'll just say a little about it, then we close. Give to it. You do not yet own something you don't give to. You know, Matthew 6:21 tells us that where a man's treasure is, that is where his heart is. So you cannot say, oh, I love this ministry, if your treasure is not there. How we know that you love the ministry is that your treasure is there. And I'm going to challenge you. And as I'm rounding up this, I will pray for you and for your finances. I've not prayed a specific prayer for finances throughout this week, and you observed. I left it for this morning. But I'll talk to you about giving. One way to own a vision is to give to that vision. If your heart is there, your treasure will be there. If your heart is there, and the thing about giving is, nobody is too poor to give. Nobody. Nobody. I say what I'm telling you now to pastors, even leaders of ministries, founders of ministries that come to me. I ask them, so I was talking to a lead pastor, of a senior pastor of a church. I asked him, how much do you give to the church? I was like, do I have to give? I said, that's the point. You see yourself as the owner of the ministry. That's why you don't. If you see yourself as part of the vision, the same way every member is meant to give, you too should do the same. I get what I'm saying? It is God's vision. And I used to say it all the time, and as he said, without missing words, there is no more consistent giver than me in this church. Two, there is no person that gives first every month that is not me. Why? Leaders must lead the way. Let me say something to some of you. Ministers, listen to me. Ministers of church, in churches, in this church, ministers and team leads. If you want your church to have financial growth this year and have consistent inflow of cash, ministers, leaders, and workers must not miss their partnership. If a leader is consistent in giving, it will rub off on the whole church. Are you getting me? Any good ministers will tell you, you cannot miss your partnership anymore. Are you mad? You can't. Because you are leading the way. I cannot miss it. I'm leading the way. Leaders, you cannot miss it. You must, you know, leadership is not about pointing out the way. It's about leading the way. Do you know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying? Leadership is not telling people, hey, that's where to go to walk up there. No. You don't point, say, leadership is not about telling people, pray, and you go out. It's about leading. That's why we call it leading prayer. You lead prayer. In other words, I'm leading you to pray, I'm praying too. Are you following me? That's how giving is. Leaders don't just tell people to give. Leaders must give too. They lead the way. And that is one of the things that you must do as a son of this ministry. You must give. Because it's a sensitive matter, every time I talk on giving, I don't like brushing it aside. You know, members believe that, or not members, yeah, non-members believe that churches exist for money. You know, right? It's non-members. When you become a member, you know better. You know, I just tell you guys, someone was bringing me to church here one of those days, a cab guy, and we started talking about it. Even I was a pastor. We started talking about church, and he said, I told him, do you know how much that was paid for this hall? For this auditorium, that is very expensive. He now said, is it not church? Money day church now. So I now told him, I'll be. He said, yes. So you're right. So I asked him, if you think there is money in church and you've seen a viable business, why not start a church? And I said, I know if you run them. I said, no, you can't. This business, you're an Igbo man. Start a church. People that think that money is in church, are people that have not done church. By the time you pass the church, you will know that at every time, the needs in a church is always bigger than the money in the church. Do you understand? Because you think a church has raised, the only any church that is richer than their need, possibly do not listen to God to get new visions and direction for that ministry. Because if you have enough to cover the whole of Enugu, do you have enough to cover the whole of Nigeria? Do you have enough to reach the whole of Africa? Do you have enough to reach the... I get what I'm talking about. So, you know the finish. Always something to do. And that is why you as a member of this ministry, of this certain platform, must know and must not be found making that kind of nonsense statement. Is that all these pastors are doing? Do you know? One thing, I'm going to do something for you. If you think churches used to have money, I used to eat money. For the next 4 weeks, I will allow you to count offering. If you count offering for 4 weeks, you increase your own offering. Do you know that to get this service you are holding now, this very service, some services, I'm not missing words, and I'm going to show you how. Some single services, as young and small as we are, run into hundreds of thousands to run. And one service, let me prove it to you. Well, we do, well has increased. For instance, Friday night at this meeting, transportation alone, because we had to transport people back home. I get what I'm saying. Put that to the first. So sometimes you just walk into church, you sit down for 3 hours, and you go home. Thousands of naira just left. And the bigger ministry gets, there are some churches that to run one single service is up to 500,000. I'm not joking. But then they put diesel, that one. This service is costing more than you know. You see that guy standing there videoing? It is money that is going like that. That's my point. Everything. Oh, you won't know. You must change your mindset. If I am part of this vision, my money is in this vision. You know, I taught you something. That your money is God's money. Do you remember that? And it's not me that said. When David gave to God, it was Solomon. He told God, it is what you've given us that we are giving back to you. And that's a mindset. So because of this, I'm going to say a few things about giving. Just make some key statements that you don't forget. Number one, when you give, you are imitating God. Giving is to imitate God. Who was the biggest giver ever? God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And how much did God give? He gave his everything. So when you're a giver, you are learning from God. And that's one amazing thing. You are learning from God. So who taught us to give in the first place? God taught us. So giving is imitating God. Number two, giving is obedience to the word. When you give, you're obeying God's word. Deuteronomy 16 verse 17 will tell us that we should give. He doesn't tell us how much to give, but he tells us how to measure it. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which has given you. So God does not expect that you give this amount or that amount. Just give as you are able. That's why I normally explain to you guys that somebody can give 10 million and he did well. No, somebody can give 10 million rather and he's not doing well. Another person can give 1,000 naira and the person is doing well. It's about how God has blessed. If the guy giving 10 million has 10 billion in his account, he's not a good giver. If the guy that is giving 1,000 has only 3,000 in his account and he gives the 1,000, you should help that guy. Jesus talked about it, remember? The widow's mite. So Jesus says she's the biggest giver, not because of the amount she gave, but because of the amount in relation to what she has. I know what I'm saying. As you are able. So when you are giving, you are living in obedience to God. That's the second thing. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7 tells us to excel in giving. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7. Hallelujah. Excel in giving. Number 3. When you are giving, you are partnering with God to advance his kingdom. When you are giving, you are in partnership with God. You know how people enter partnerships with businesses? That's how you enter partnership with God. Philippians 4 verse 15, Paul calls the gifts that the Philippian church sends to him, he calls it partnership. He said, now ye Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but he only, so they communicated with him when it comes to the giving and receiving. Now look at 2 Corinthians 9 verse 12. It will make sense now. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 12. Now put up NLT. Everybody look at the screen. Let's read together, everybody. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's read together, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. Two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. So the first one good thing about giving is that you are meeting the needs of people. Your giving is the reason service is holding. It's the reason people can hear the word. I just shared with you a few minutes ago how that people will receive our books and messages and our life will be turned around. Giving makes it possible. That is so fast that I was telling you that blessed people, we displayed those books for free. Let me see if you got it. You got those books. We made copies and free, no single payment. But you see, people paid for those books to be produced. And so by the time you partner with God, so God wants to reach someone. And then you give your money, we produce a book, and somebody takes the book to the person. You've partnered with God in changing that person's life. And he will reward when the time comes. And so, your giving is partnership with God. You are helping meet a need. You are helping solve a problem. You are helping do something. Partner with God in His work. Number four, your giving, I'm trying to rush this. Your giving has eternal benefits, eternal rewards. Matthew 6:19 tells us to lay up our treasure in heaven, where nothing can happen to them. And many times I've been asking myself, how do I lay up my treasure in heaven? What does this mean? How do I lay up my treasure in heaven? Where moths cannot destroy them, where rust cannot destroy them. And then I saw 1 Timothy 6 verse 17. How do I lay my treasure in heaven? He says, charge them that are rich in this world. 1 Timothy 6:17. That they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who give. Go back to King James. Come on, you should be very active. You can see that what I'm reading is King James, NLT. But in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, watch verse 18. Watch. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to. What does it mean? Verse 19. Laying up in store for themselves a foundation against the time to come, that you may lay hold on eternal life. So how to lay up thoughts for yourself for the time to come? Giving is one of them. What does that mean? It means that every gift you give to advance the work of God has a reward. Not even on earth here, when we meet Jesus. That should comfort you. Because everything you spend your money on earth here will perish. Phone will perish. That's why he calls it laying it up for yourself in heaven. Because when you give it, that reward is there. Even in eternity, you will receive the reward for the giving you are doing now. Amazing. So, number four, giving has eternal relevance. Eternal rewards for giving. Number five, everything you give to the work of God or to a man of God is considered before God, is considered a sacrifice. God sees it as you've offered sacrifice to Him. Philippians 12 verse 18. The Philippian church sent money to Paul. And look at how Paul described the money they sent. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which we are sent from you. An odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well pleasing to God. So when you walk up to a man of God, for instance, and he says, sir, I want to give you this. Before God, that's a sacrifice acceptable to Him. Are you following me? You put it into your pocket and say, oh, there's a project going in the church. I'm going to give 1 million. I'm going to give 10 million. Sacrifice acceptable to God. And this Philippian church, they gave so much that Paul told them, I have all. In fact, what you guys sent is more than enough. We learn from that. Amen. I said two more things. Giving shows that you trust God. Giving is a major proof that you trust God for your finances. You cannot claim to trust that God will provide for you if you don't give. And I'll show you in the Bible. But before I show you in the Bible, I'll give you just a practical example. If you have 10,000 naira, and we are saying give, and you cannot give from that 10,000 naira, the reason is because you are asking yourself, if I give out this money, how am I sure that another one will come? I get the point. Let me show you that in the Bible. Go back to 1 Timothy 6 verse 17. Let's work with NLT. Everybody please look at the screen so that this will bless you. Are you there? Are you there? Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. How do they show that they trust God? Verse 18. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, and always be ready to share with others. So it is in giving out the money that you show, see, I trust that God will provide. And I've thought, you know, some of you, I was really impressed. Some of you have sent your visions for this year. So I saw people write things like, I want to pay 3 people's school fees in church. I want to pay house rent for at least 2. I was impressed. That is what money is for. If you have money, you cannot give it to people. You cannot bless people with this. Christmas passed. How many families did you visit to celebrate Christmas for? You are beginning to get small, small money. 30,000, 40,000. Who did you bless with your finance? So what is that the proof that you trust that God to provide for you? The truth, let me tell you, if I have 100K and you see me boldly bring out 80 or 90 from that money and give, it is because I believe that I will get another one. Are you following me? It's a proof that you trust God. And I've practiced a lot of knowledge. And this point I made now is the reason why when you give, you prosper. This is the reason. Because giving is an exercising of your faith in God. That's why I normally teach you that when you give, you should talk. Father, as I give this money, I am declaring that I trust you. I trust you as my supplier. I trust you as the one that will replenish. And I know that from now at all times, my supply is bigger than my needs. I declare that I will always have what to give. I will always have what to spend. I will always have much more left over. I'll declare that everything I need, I will always have. And I'm sure that I trust you. I give this. Amen. What do you think made the early church? People will go and sell their land and bring the money to church. A full land. In fact, Ananias died because he sold his land and brought half of the money. What will make a Jewish man sell his land, sell his house, and give the money to church? The reason is simple. He somehow believes that he will get another one. Giving is a way to show you trust God with your finances. And I'm going to challenge you that part of how you own the vision this year is that your money will go into it massively. And I can tell you, you will not even be broke. Nobody has ever gone broke from giving. Quote me anywhere. He might have temporary hardship. I get the point. But the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, there is a hand. That's Proverbs 11:24. Am I right? Am I right? Proverbs 11:24. There is a hand that withholdeth more than is necessary. Please put it up. Yeah. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. So put up NLT. Look at the screen. Everybody watch. Watch. Go back to. He said, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy. Lose everything. Put up Amplified. There are those who generously scatter abroad and yet increase more. There are those who withhold more than is fitting. So he's not saying you should not withhold. But don't withhold more than is fitting. In other words, there's a part of the money that God gives you that he expects you to scatter abroad. Are you following me, church? That's what it means. So Solomon is not saying once you get money, throw it all up all over the place. But there's a percentage, there's a part of the money. There are those who withhold more than is fitting. Or what is justly due, but it results in only want. That's the wisdom of God. That somebody is giving out his money and he's rich. Another person is keeping his money and he's struggling. Why do you think? I always ask you this: that big companies in the world, you hear about the richest man, the richest this, they are always very big on charity. Sometimes they bring 30% of their income and push it to charity. By the next year, they're standing again. They know what they're doing, though. Sometimes they are converting the prayers of those guys that are giving money to. And you say, they are atheists. You know, money does not know religion. If an atheist gives money to a Christian, he will pray for him. If a Muslim gives money to a Christian, he will pray for him. And those prayers will go to work. Look at this. Next verse. Verse 25. Glory to God. The liberal person shall be enriched. He who waters shall be watered. The way Jesus said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. shall be made fat. Put up like NLT, shall be made fat. NLT said, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Why is it so? I just showed you why. Because when they are giving out that money, they are showing that they trust God, the supplier. You know, everybody in the body of Christ cannot be wrong. You check all the men who are living in mega affluence in God's, in the body of Christ, and they will tell you one secret: giving. All of them cannot be wrong. See the next verse, verse 26. King James, verse 26. Hallelujah. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. That is the reason. I'm trying to show you why the liberal soul is made fat. You withhold, people shall curse you. The blessing shall be on the head of him that selleth it. Once something is moving from you, there's a blessing on you. He's talking about maybe in the days of famine, when somebody is withholding corn, hoarding stuff and refusing to sell it, people will curse you. That person that brings it out, people will begin to bless him. Are you getting the point? So it doesn't mean that when you don't give a church, we curse you. No. I was teaching about the old covenant. That's an old covenant thing. You don't tell believers, if you do not give, God will punish you. Don't do that. But it's not even true. You know, if you don't give, God will make sure you don't prosper. No. It's just that giving sets you up and puts you in a place where you receive God's blessing. That's what it is. It doesn't mean that if you don't give, God will now say, ah, so I'm doing project in church, you don't want to give, I will show you who I am. God is not like that. But when you give, you put yourself in a place where you can receive more of what God wants to give you. Hallelujah. And so you own this vision. Let me show you one last scripture. Is it last? 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. Put up NLT. Everybody please look at this. I want you to go home with this verse. Put up NLT. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds, we get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Continue. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves. So what does it mean to plant generously? In verse 6, what does it mean? To give cheerfully. So it's really not about the size of the money. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's about your attitude towards the giving. What is attitude within verse 7? You give cheerfully and you don't give because of pressure. And you don't give reluctantly. You don't give after they've dragged you and say you must give, give. And I call you every day. How much are you going to give? You are just decide in your heart. So to give generously or to sow generously is still about big the size of the money, but not majorly about the size of the money. It's about the heart. Now see the next verse. Verse 8. Now this is a place to say amen. And God will generously provide all you need. Now watch. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So he's saying, if you give generously, if you give willingly, if you give cheerfully, God will generously provide all you need so that you will have everything you need and plenty left over. Do you hear this every day in church? I always have what to give. I always have what to spend. I always have much more left over. This is where we got it from. And every time, this is what God wants. Next verse. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Next verse. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, somebody say in the same way, he will provide and increase your resources. I said he will provide and increase your resources. Now, what else will he do? He will produce a great harvest of generosity. So what God wants to do is to give you so much money and then give you the heart to give it. Look at that. Provide all you need and then produce a harvest of generosity in you. So he gives you 10 million and gives you the heart to give it. I get the point. Look at it again. He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity. Say, that's me. Say, that's me. Let's see the next verse. Verse 11. We'll stop there. He said, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. This is what God wants to do for me this year. To enrich me in every way so that I will be generous. Amen. Are you trusting God to be generous this year? To give so much. So God wants to make me rich so that I will give it. This giving is to the church. It is to the man of God. It is to your fellow believers too. It's to that sister that does not have much. It's to that family that cannot feed. It's to everybody. I get what I'm saying. I get what I'm saying. That's the giving. Then when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. This is one beautiful thing about giving. That when you give to people, it makes them thank God. Imagine pastor is praying, maybe on Saturday. Father, we need 10 million. We need 50 million. And then suddenly, you send it. Pastor begins to thank God. Why is he thanking God? Because of you. So you are the reason someone is giving glory to God. Every year, as God provides for me, I just pick one or two people, one or two families, and at different times I just go visit them. Some I can give you money, some I can take food to them. One of the most amazing things, and I don't choose it by because they are poor or rich, no, I just how it's led in my heart. One of the most amazing things is when I do that, how some of them start thanking God, you have become an answer. I didn't get the point. It's amazing. I told one, I said, your child's school fees from now, I'm going to pay it. I could see the tears gathering in her eyes. That is the joy. Why else does God give you money? Hallelujah. And so you give as part of the vision. I want to instruct you, church. Build a system around your giving this year. Don't give when you can. Give always. You know that's one instruction I normally give you about everything in life. Don't pray when you can. Pray always, without ceasing. Don't say, I will read my Bible when I can. Read your Bible always. I will preach to somebody when I can. Most things that you say you will do when you can, you don't ever do them. Have you observed? When I have the time, I'm going to pray. For the past 2 weeks, you've not prayed. You want to pray every day, decide, I will pray by 6 a.m. to 6:30 every day. Structure it. So you're not praying when you can. You've set a time to pray. Same thing you do with giving. Don't give when you can. Structure your giving. That's what God told them in the Old Testament. They're supposed to say, I will give 10% of my income every month. That's how they gave. Now, here you don't have to give 10%. You have to choose your percentage. That's how we do it here. That's the New Testament. But structure it. Don't say, any that money enter my hand there, church go collect. No. We don't want to collect like that. Structure your giving. And every month, I'm going to give 15% of my earning, 5% of my earning, 10% of my earning, 30%, whichever one. Or every month, I'm going to give 50,000. Structure your giving. Where did I learn this from? From the Bible. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1. Paul told them, verse 1 and 2. He said, the first of the week, everybody should lay by him in store a portion. Separate a particular percentage every week. Look at it. Go to verse 2. Look at it. Verse 2. Quick. Verse 2. Upon the first of the week, let everyone lay by him in store as God has promised. So they had a giving to do. Paul is saying, I'm coming to come and call because they were contributing money to send to Jerusalem. And Paul told them, concerning that giving, How I want it to happen is every first of the week. Which day is that? Which day is that? Sunday. Each of you separate something. Every first day. So that it's not when I come, you start running around for the money. Separate every first day. Structure your giving. I will give 15%. I will give 10%. I will give 30%. I'm earning this, I will give this. As God increases my giving, I'll give the structure you're giving. Don't give. Does it plan your giving? It's not when I can. It's when you have to. And learn it to. Don't pray when you can. If you plan to pray when you can, you have planned not to pray. Are you getting me? How many of you? You said you will pray when you can. And you pray every day. Let me tell you, it can happen. You just wake up after like 3 weeks and find out, I have not prayed for the past 16 days. Why? I was not structured to it. That's how it is too. He said, I will give when I can. It is when we get to July. You will not calculate that everything I'm giving in church is not even up to 10,000. Ask yourself, if everybody in this church is giving like me, are we still going to have a church? Amen. So how much am I supposed to give, Pastor? I won't tell you. As God has prospered you. Now pay attention. There are two major kinds of giving. One is this one I'm showing you. As God has prospered you. You give. But this one, structure it. Don't go and give us all your salary and go broke. Are you getting me? Pick your percentage. Then there's another type of giving where that happens occasionally, where there is now a special need to be met in church. I will come and announce, okay, guys, you want to buy this, that one, you can now go out of your way and say, I'm going to give 1 million. But apart from that, if you are earning 10 million every month, decide I'll give you 20%. In other words, every month you bring 2 million. Do that consistently. Unless there is now a special need in church. The reason I tell you to structure giving like that is so that you won't give all your money one day and come and start crying. So you plan it. You plan your giving. I close this way. When money enters your hand and you want that money to last, separate the one you want to give to God. Keep it. Separate the one you want to save. You know, I teach this every year. It's a new year. Don't waste it. Think of all the money that entered your hand last year. Where are they now? Separate the one you want to give. Keep it. Separate the one you want to save. Keep it. Are you following me? Separate the one you want to maybe invest in something. Keep it. Bring out the one you want to spend. Plan your life. Money should not just enter your hand and start eating it like a madman. And then when it's now 28th of December, you now remember, I have not saved. Don't save what is left after spending. Spend what is left after you have saved. Same thing with giving. Don't give what is left. What if you just get money, you eat. End of the month, say, what is left in my pocket? Let me send this 1,000. Don't give what is left after you spent. God demands the priority. You spend what is left after you've given what you said you will give to God. Are you blessed? And so, own this vision. Run with this vision. Be very zealous. Stand on this exalted platform. Know the message. Herald the message. Catch the spirit that works here and own this vision. This is my vision. Do you have a church? What is a church? That is now, when they said do you have a church, what should come to your mind should not be, did I build any church? No. Do you have a church? Yes, I do. Do I have a church? When people meet me and they ask me things like, how is your church doing? It's painful because I feel bad because what they are asking me is that church you own, that church, you know, your investment, the business you started. That's not how I see church. It is God's house. You want to do business, go to main market. If you want to serve God, then serve Him. This is God's vision. Hallelujah. And that is why I make this pledge to you every year. And we make that pledge as a ministry. Talking about giving. That every month, every single time that comes into this ministry is spent strictly for the ministry. And people here know the structure we have here, you can't even eat the money. Where will you even see it? And when I mean you, even me cannot. It's money you see that you eat. You know, one of the things God told me when I was starting my ministry is set standards around yourself. And even when you want to sin, you cannot sin. The reason why pastors can steal church money is because they can see the money. The structure here, I've never seen offering money. They can have, as in, with my eye, I don't see offering money. Do you understand? I don't even have a right to go to the account and take money. If I go, the bank will pursue me. You must have a meeting and a couple of signatures will sign before money moves. Why? We want to make sure that God's money must be used for God's business. Are you following me, church? That's what we are run businesses. That's how to structure your business. Don't run a business where 10,000 enters today, you eat it today. They buy soya milk, you eat it. Anything they buy, you eat it. As they're buying, you're eating. You're a keke driver. You make 10,000 today, you eat it today. You don't realize that when you make 10,000 or 15,000 every day as a keke driver, in a month, that's 300,000. There is no civil servant in Enugu, dead or alive, that ends up 300,000. Are you getting the point? Structure your life, structure your giving. God wants to prosper you. Are you ready for that? Bring some order into your life. And this year is for increase. This year, we are getting our lands. And we are getting the first landed property as a church this year. Are you in? Are you in? You know, once we say it, God goes to work. Now, this is the final finally. Amen? How many finally have we used today? How many finally? Now, this is the final. Listen. Every time God gives your church a big vision to handle, God is about to expand you and increase you. I normally teach you in this church, if I announce we are giving 100 million, start dancing. Why? It is people that have 100 million that can give it. So if God says you are going to raise a billion, it's because He is about to put that money in some people's hands to be able to give it. Because it will not fall from heaven. So instead of saying, where are we going to get 1 billion from? Tell yourself, not this, I say, we'll give you 1 billion. Under your breath, just say, Father, I am going to be part of this. What it means is, you will provide the money for me to give it. And still have plenty left over to enjoy my life. I get the point. Every time there is a big vision, someone's level is about to change. Every time. So, I'm going to ask you this year. We are getting a land. How much are you going to give towards that? You have to decide. You have to make up your mind. I'm going to be part of this. I'm going to be part of this. And the good thing about this church is, it is strictly secret giving. Nobody knows your name. Nobody is going to say, if I give in 2 million, come and stand there, stand there, stand there. Nobody's going to do that. So that if you want to give because of personal glory, you keep your money in your pocket. Are you following me?
Yeah.
It's secret. It's not secret to the whole church, oh. No. It's secret to the whole church, but it's not secret to us. You will tell us how much you will give. We alone know. That's why, you know, and thank God for that wisdom that God gave us. That's why you see in this church, you cannot know rich people in this church by looking around. Because if we had been running church like, if we want to give 5 million, come and stand here. You already assess people that can afford 5 million. But when it comes to structure, you don't even know who is rich or who is not. The person around you might be a millionaire and he's your usher. The Lord said to me many years ago, I can't forget. He said, there is a church that can bridge the gap between the rich and the poor. That's what we're doing. The way you enter, you will not know that this one is rich or that that one is poor. In fact, money is going from the rich to the poor. That the poor will now become rich. At the end of the day, there is no poor person. I didn't get a point. We are a giving church. And you are a giving man. Say, I'm a giver. Say, I am a giver. I am generous. I am generous. Hallelujah. Amen. Bow your head briefly. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I need to release you now. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, you've given us a house. You've given us a church. We receive that ability, that strength to stand on this platform and be productive in this ministry. In the name of Jesus, may everyone be empowered with this ability. And I pray specifically for their finances. Dad, it's a new year. And these ones have visions. They have their dreams. They have their goals. I ask, Father, that as it is in their hearts, you prosper their visions. You prosper their ideas. You prosper whatever they put their hands to do. In the name of Jesus, that there will be no struggle on their part this year. That where they were last year in their finances, that by the end of this year, there will be a visible difference. In the name of Jesus, that this year will be that year for many of them, that they will look back to. It will be a year that they broke through. That they broke through a certain limitation in their life. In the name of Jesus. And many here who are in families that have limitations around them, that have limitations around their finances, that have a limit they've never crossed. This year will be their year of breaking that limit. In the name of Jesus. Father, as a father over this commission, I receive cars dedicated, lands dedicated, businesses dedicated, increase recorded. In the name of Jesus, let everyone hear that by the end of this year, let there be a visible change in everybody's finances here. People who need jobs, give them the job. In the name of Jesus. People who need supply, the supply is here now. People who need capital, the capital is here now. People who need increase, the increase is here now. People who need to expand what they're doing, the expansion is here now. I bless you with ideas, supernatural ideas that will bring in the force into your hand. The thing that Satan wants to use to cause shame will not prevail. It will not prevail. Shame is rolled away. Shame is rolled away. In the name of Jesus, enjoy increase. Enjoy abundance. Enjoy wealth. Enjoy expansion. Rise. Grow. spread, increase, expand, dominate, reproduce, fill the earth, be fruitful. In the name of Jesus. In this new season we have as a church, you will not be found wanting. God will bring the resources you need into your hand. Whether you're a student or a worker, you have more than enough. You have more than enough. You have more than enough. You will give so much, spend so much, and still have so much. In the name of Jesus, the season of more than enough is here. More than enough. In the name of Jesus, experience God's increase. In Jesus' name we pray. Do you receive those words? Give the Lord a shout if you receive those words. Give the Lord a shout if you receive those words. Glory to God.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.